Okay, may I have everybody's attention? So I'm glad you're all having so much fun. That's great. So Robin is our friend from Fort Ross, who's a state park interpreter, and you're in charge of the bicentennial celebration,
yeah,
correct?
And the programs, yeah.
Of all the programs. And she came and talked to the sisters in January, and we thought, well, it's not fair to keep her all to ourselves. So we asked her to come back and talk to us about the history of Fort Ross and what's going on right now and plans for the future. And so, yes. So wonderful to have you.
Thank you. Nice. Great to be here.
Good idea.
I know, thank goodness. Everyone who's in the back, are you okay, or can you come forward a little bit to get a little more cozy? That would be great. You want to come in?
You know, it was once said that the only saying of Jesus that modern Christians take seriously is to not seek out the front seat.
Not seek out the front seat. Well, it's a pleasure being here, and there is a lot to talk about, and it never seems like there's enough time to share everything that's going on, but this presentation is titled Past, Present, and Future, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the history, the past, and then we're going to talk about what's going on now, and then what we're going to be doing in the future, or maybe. And I know I have around an hour, so I'm going to break it up into 20 minutes. But also, if you have any questions at any time, please just ask. And I love dialogue, so that would be fine. And I see you adopted the sea otter fur pelt.
Yes.
Did everyone get a chance to feel that and see that? Excellent. No, keep it, please. I mean, for now. What I would like to do is just share with you the people of Fort Ross, because, first of all, how many of you have been to Fort Ross? Almost really everybody, right? And how many of you have a good sense of the history? Because then I won't do so much basic. But should I just do some basic?
Yeah, do basics.
Okay. I want to give you a sense not only of the big picture, but even the smaller picture of things that were going on at the fort, at what we call Colonie Russe or Selene Settlement Russe, and give you from all the people's perspectives. And the first people of that land, what we call Fort Ross today, is the Kashaya. And it's really important to us that we share, you know, about them, because not because they're Native and it's cool to talk about Native people, but because they were there. They were a part of that land, and they're still there. They're still a part of our community. They still are involved with us. They still work with us. And they still have their language. And there's, you know, again, reasons for that. So I want to show objects, although I thought about bringing people up, but maybe I won't. Does anyone here have a card of a Kashaya person? Because we didn't hand them all out. It's a small crowd. What's your card?
Colonie Vonnery Schmidt.
Oh, you're a German. Anyone have a Kashaya or Pomo woman? Yes.
I do. A Kashaya married to Philip Apahu, okay. A Kodiak. They may have lived on the frontiers in the Alaskan neighborhood. When he returned to Sitka, she returned to her own people. And says she's a garden.
Well, that's for the program, but what's the name again? Pokemon?
Philip Apahu?
No, you're, turn the card over, it says the name.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pokemon.
Yeah, why don't you come up for a minute? I want to introduce you as Pokemon.
Okay.
And, come on right here.
I'm Pokemon.
Pokemon. And Pokemon is what we always like to share, a very, very much a part of the colony. And certainly before the Russian-American company arrived, you know, they had a very different lifestyle. And things absolutely changed when the Russian-American company came in. And I just want to give you a little sense of that. And we know very little about the women or the labor class at the Ross Colony. Does anyone know why that would be? Have a sense of, I mean, in history, it's true, in all of history, why
different
that.
Different language. Right?
Different language, but they didn't have a language. They didn't have a written language. So they couldn't write their story. So we miss a lot of stories in history because of it, and we miss a lot of the story of the people who made up the Ross Colony because they couldn't write it down. They could certainly tell their story, oral history, but basically it's the reason that we don't know a lot about you. And we only know about your life and where you may have come from. And what we do know is that they didn't, these Kashaya women that intermarried into the population there, didn't just walk down and go, hey, you know, here I am, hello guys, I'm cute. And it didn't, we're sure of that. We do know that the Russian-American company, the men of this company, Russian, Creole, and Native Alaskans, and we'll talk about them, they socialized with the Kashaya. And socializing, you know, was to introduce yourself and to meet people. And that's a good way, that's a probable way of that these relationships happen. Ivan Kuskov, who is the founder of Fort Ross, did census records, and it was brilliant. I mean, without those records, we wouldn't know your name. We wouldn't have that. And they came in 1812, and he did the census records in 1821-22. And he went neighborhood to neighborhood at the Ross Colony, and there were three very distinct neighborhoods. And the one that you may have lived in is the front neighborhood. If all of you could picture the fort right now, out in front towards the ocean, that's called the Alaskan neighborhood. And that's where a lot of the Native Alaskan men lived and where you are likely to have lived. Not certain, of course.
Is it actually inside the fort?
Outside, yeah, in the front terrace there. But what we do know is that you were there. We
like
know
that road that goes down to the beach?
Yes.
Out there?
Yes, exactly.
We were just there.
Yes, perfect. And then down on Sandy Beach, and then North Point, and then down at Bodega Bay, they were there living as well. And why this is important for us, for me personally, is that you understand the people who made up the colony. That's really what makes history fun. And so for you, you know, what we have to remember is that it's a whole new life. And I have two items that I want you to go ahead and take hold of. And we did archaeology in that neighborhood, and that neighborhood specifically, to learn more about the people living at the Ross Colony and get a sense of their life and who they were. And this particular stone was found in one of those archaeological sites that was of a Native Alaskan home where you married this man. Was it
Philippe?
Philippe. A Native Alaskan? What does it say?
A Kodiak.
A Kodiak man, exactly. So a Kodiak from the Kodiak Islands, most of the population at Ross were Native Alaskan men. Kodiak, Kenai, Aleutic, Unangan, Tlingit. And you married him. And we say marriage, but it wasn't totally, you know, Kuskov documented living with. And the reason is that there was no priest on site to actually perform a service or a marriage. And so there were a lot of relationships that were just living together. And so here you are, and I say this because not that we know a lot about her, we have to, you know, guess and kind of figure it out, but you came to live in this neighborhood and you brought your life with you. And that's important. That's what we always like to share with everyone, is just because you're living in a Russian fort doesn't mean you became Russian. You were still you, and you still brought your ideas with you, and you would have eaten the same food. This is the telltale sign of that. So this item right here, does anyone know what this is? It's a pestle, a grinding. Exactly, pestle and mortar. We found a lot of pestles in these home sites of the Native Alaskans. And this is one of them. So it's really a powerful little item because someone held it long ago and prepared their food. And she would have been very, acorn was her main diet and what she would have eaten most of. And she probably, when she came to live with this man, had brought with her a bit of her acorns. and would have been able to have that.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. And it is, because we know, you know, again, that their life, it was a very diverse group of people. So here you are, and you're living with this guy, and the other thing that came in is trade. And I want you to know that certainly this company, the Russian-American company, is a trade company. They're based on the sea otter fur trade. But there was trade at every level of people. And you brought in the idea of abalone. So it's a beautiful shell, right? And we love it. We still have adornment, you know, earrings, necklaces, belts, and all kinds of things with abalone. For Native Alaskans, when the Kashaya, and not that the women did a lot of hunting, they weren't allowed, it wasn't protocol, it wasn't a social norm, but your brother or your uncle or even your father may have felt the right to come live outside your home. And it wasn't because they were necessarily protecting you, although, yeah, but being a little nosy. That's absolutely it. And coming and living outside your home because what's going on at this colony? I want in. And I want to be a part of it. And how can I get in? And we know this, and we know this from documents, that a lot of those brothers that came to protect their sisters really actually became hired hands for the company. And that's what they were looking for. It was a different lifestyle. And a lot of them were very young, teenagers. I'm not talking about older men. Teenagers, even so, this is universal, know everything about everything. Is that right? I am dealing with one right now in my life. And he knows everything. And so your brother, being a teenager, he's going to do something very different. And go out of the box of the norm of his tribe.
So she's a Indian.
Yes, okay. Kashaya is of that land, Métis. Okay. So the shell represents something that's pretty big, really, amongst the people there. Your brother would have maybe gathered this major storm or low tide to get abalone. And the meat is good. Who's had abalone? It's pretty good. Yeah, but the shell is, you know, amazing. Beautiful. And the shells in Alaska for the abalone are very different. They're not as colorful, they're smaller. But this, to Native Alaskans, so to your husband, to learn about this was like, wow, this is amazing. And they would collect them. And they would collect piles of them, the Native Alaskans. And we know this is true from documents that they would load up their kayaks when they're ready to leave and get their kayaks loaded on the ship, get back up to Alaska, to Kodiak as an example, and they would be very wealthy. They had a trade item that others didn't have. And now, abalone shell from our coast, from California, was found in the archaeological digs in Kodiak from that trade. So there was a lot of relationships, a lot of learning, a lot of, you know, different lifestyles coming into play. So just want you to go ahead and hold that. And you can stay up or go ahead, sit down.
I guess I'll sit down.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great.
All right.